B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Kelker and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There was one player in particular that there was a lot of discussion with, and he's well aware of it. And was honest with him on that and why we didn't do it and what he needs to focus on for his career and for us finishing this year strong.
Kyrie, are you happy to have the deadline to pass this group and be able to just focus on the next couple months here to get ready for the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, the deadline was a lot for a lot of other people, I'm assuming. So, you know, for us, we were pretty set. They made that very clear, our management. So, you know, I'm just happy that now we just have to focus on the rest of the season and, you know, have some fun doing so. You know, I'm just glad it's passed here.
Who was Danny Ainge talking about? Teams were calling about this specific player. He was talking about trading this specific player. He went to this specific player to tell him these talks are happening. I wanted it to be Kyrie. I don't know if it is. Because, again, I start with the Kyrie comment. I saw it last night on NBC Sports Boston on their postgame coverage. He says, I'm just glad it's over. And he almost sighed. It was like an audible sort of, yeah, I'm just glad it's over. Like,
well, it's probably been heavy in the locker room for a lot of parties, and that's weighed on a lot of them. Have we checked in with Scoop Stewart behind the glass?
Who do you think they were talking about? Who do you think Danny Ainge was talking about, Stu?
I think it was Marcus Morris.
You know what? I don't rule him out either. That's a good one, too.
Good, Jimmy.
He's up at the end of the year, right? I mean, and he's a guy who come off and help a lot of teams off the bench. Like, he's another one that if you were a team in contention, you would say, hey, you know, maybe they'd move Morris.
He's also been their second-best player since the start of the season.
Well, Lord knows how horny they are to get Gordon Hayward out there.
Ugh.
And Jaylen Brown, right? I mean, they're redundant there.
Yeah, they got a lot.
And this guy, Marcus, has outplayed both of them. Should be getting minutes over both of them. But Morris is up at the end of the year. Can you afford to bring him back? It's like he's not really part of the plan. Long-term plan. He's not. He's sort of in the way. I said this earlier in the year, by the way, that as good as Morris has been, he's sort of getting in the way of the two guys that you're really going forward with.
Yep, absolutely.
And so, I wonder, what do you believe was going on there, Jimmy? Do you anything else?
That's not a belief. That's a guess.
Yeah.
And I put it towards what you guys were saying, plus Tobias Harris, who is a better offensive player than Morris is, but Morris is better defensively, makes more money, and got four draft picks and a good young player. So Danny might have been offered a good young player and two future draft picks, which would have gone towards Anthony Davis potentially.
Huh.
It's a good theory. I mean, again, Morris is the kind of guy you'd pick up at the deadline.
Well, let's find this out, everybody. Let's find out who they're taking calls on and who they had to go to and say, this is happening. Let's find this out. This is the NBA now.
Yeah, Woj, get me some information for once.
There's no secrets. There's no secrets here. Everyone blabs.
Tough conundrum, though, there for Danny, because on the one hand, you want to build up the treasure chest so you get Anthony Davis to keep Kyrie happy, but you also have a lot riding on this postseason and a deep playoff run, which you need Morris for, to keep Kyrie happy so he doesn't walk in the summer.
Absolutely. Right, in which case I would say keep Kyrie happy.
Okay, so we continue with your thoughts here. Agenda Free Friday, everything on the table. Blair in Maine, go.
What's going on, Felger? Hopefully your day is going good. Anyways, that Laker game, how many threes do you think LeBron had? I thought he had way too many. They should have never let him have as many threes as he had.
I'll tell you what, Blair. I'm sorry, I'm just going to cut you off. Some of them were lucky. What was the one? It's the one they were down 18. Okay, this is when the Celtics were down 18, and LeBron hit a three from, like, the timeline. Because
he was out there,
There was, like, 2 seconds on the shot clock or something, and he just launched, and it goes in. I'm sorry, I think the Lakers were chucking it out of their booties.
Yeah, but again, in this game. So look, I'm not telling you every single one of them was, you know, an easy shot. He also took a real long one there that he missed, right? But nonetheless, I'm just telling you, there wasn't a lot of pressure on the perimeter on those shots. You know, the Celtics were lazy in terms of their defense. You don't give up 130 points by accident.
Let's get Dave Bruin's take here on Agenda Free Friday, which is brought to you by our friends at the Bernardi Auto Group, BernardiAutoGroup.com for more details. Yes, Matt and Quincy, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? Just two things on the Bruins.
it's become like a trend almost, it seems like, where they can't hold these leads. It doesn't make any sense. I don't understand it. Cassidy calls them out a little bit, and they had a little run where they didn't blow them, and now they're doing it again. And I don't understand why they don't just leave Pastrnak with Krejci, get him off the top line. It's apparent that anyone can go up there on the top line and play. I mean, Heinen looks like Mark Recchi up there, tipping pucks in the middle of the net. So I think they should just stick with it because they need two lines if they want to have any kind of chance of making a run.
Matt, agreed.
So they're headed that way, though, right? Didn't they have them lined up that way in practice today?
Correct. And, of course, you know who goes up to the first line?
Heinen.
Who they love.
They do. They love
Heinen.
They
just love him.
That was a good tip the other night, but, you know, I don't know. That might have been the blind squirrel theory.
But either way, I don't want them reaching at the deadline. I've talked about this. I don't want to trade another first-round pick unless it's a young player with term that you could treat like a young asset. And those are rare at the deadline. Those generally don't move. So I don't want them trading another first-round pick. If someone wants to overpay for some of your crap, go ahead. But otherwise, no move that you make is going to close a gap with you in Tampa. You're going to have to pull an upset. You're going to have to beat them in an upset, or someone else is going to have to beat them in an upset. That's just the way it is. There's nothing you can do at the deadline to close that gap. Tampa's the best team in the league, the most talented team in the league. So be careful. So I don't want them doing that. So if you, the best chance, you got to get some secondary scoring. And so just pull the cord. Just, you know, rip off the Band-Aid. Give Pastrnak to Krejci and see if they can make it work with someone. You know, start that revolving door with Bergeron and Marchand because you know those two are going to be good.
I mean, they can. Bergeron can elevate just about anybody, for crying out loud. And Krejci fed Pastrnak for a nice goal the other night where Pastrnak was just camped in front and redirected it. Like, to me, that's an easy one. I don't understand why they haven't done that sooner.
Derek in Foxborough with a quick thought here on Agenda Free Friday. Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, well, okay, you're a soccer guy, so I thought I'd ask you, how many Super Bowls is it going to take for the Crafts to actually put some money into the soccer team? I mean, they're making hundreds of millions off of the football team. They could easily go out and sign one of these top international superstar players like a Messi, and it would generate huge buzz for the team, and they don't do it, and okay, it's so a shame they won't do it.
It's a shame. Let's go easy on Messi. I mean, I don't expect him to spend hundreds of millions of dollars. Let's not get stupid. Could they spend a little more money? I mean, I don't know. I just think it's a shame. It is, because I think it would work in this market. I think this is one of the markets that would be good for it, and it's been arguably the worst MLS franchise since they started over 20 years ago, through how, you know, 95, whatever that is then, whatever that math is. 25 years, it's been one of the worst. And then there's no end in sight. Always at the bottom of the league in payroll, always at the bottom of the league in designated players, never won a championship, play in a horrible spot on AstroTurf in an empty football stadium. I mean, we're 25 years into this.
And you have a club that started 3 years ago in Atlanta that packs him 70,000 for each match and just won the title.
Again,
it's got to drive Revolution fans nuts to see that.
So we're, you know, 23, 24 years into this thing, and it hasn't changed. It's like, and it is a shame because I do think it would work here. I do think it would be one of those places where they would get a little bit of a foothold. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It's the same old story with that group. Here's Anthony on Cape Cod. Go ahead, Anthony.
How you doing? Yeah, I got a take grade for you on one of the best calls that's ever gone over this, best takes to ever go over the airwaves. But first, I got a bone to pick with Maz.
Just quick, Anthony.
That's Hall of Fame ballot. So, Maz, did you vote for Mike Piazza for the Hall of Fame?
No.
Yeah, you're a fraud, okay? And a traitor to your own heritage, by the way, okay? Because
so now I'm supposed to vote for every Italian?
Yep.
Oh, let me tell you something. Edgar Martinez, that's a joke. There's no bigger obvious steroid user than him. He had never had 20 homers or 100 RBIs until Dr. Feelgood got in town, Alex Rodriguez, okay? Mike Piazza is one of the best offensive catchers of all time. And yeah, he is an Italian with a great handlebar mustache. You're a fraud, okay? The whole Baseball Writers Association is a bunch of frauds, and you're the poster boy.
Okay? No problem.
Let me tell you. Let me give you my take grade for probably the ballsiest, gutsiest, one of the greatest takes to ever go over these airwaves in relation to the Hall of Fame. Roy Halladay. Okay, I'm not going to go deep into it, but I'll tell you what, Thugger. I don't care what anybody says. You get an A for that. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, that would I don't know what exactly you're referring to, but it probably didn't mean to go out over the air.
That guy had a little Jim Rome in him, didn't you?
You're
an insult to your heritage.
Good
it's
phone.
It's a good call. Good phone. I'll take it any day of the week. Dave and Wellesley, quickly.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Can we stipulate to a fact that the Celtics on paper have the most talented roster in the East?
I think they do.
Okay, so theoretically they should be in the finals, right?
Yes. Yeah, well, not if they're on the road. I think they've dug themselves a little
But he said in theory the most talented roster should be in the finals.
But in the NBA, home court's almost better than more talent. It really is.
Right, I just mean theoretically.
Sure, fine.
And then, so Davis, my big beef with adding Davis is, and this is really just a really simple argument, he's a big man. Like, I don't care about big men. It's an antiquated form of basketball. Like, I really do not. And point to one big man in the NBA that really makes a difference on a team. This is not the league anymore. Like, so I don't think you should trade the youth for a big man.
Dave, thanks for the call. Go ahead, Jimmy. Who's the one big man that makes a difference on a championship level, a contending level?
He's trying to make this kid sound like Greg Monroe.
No. He's saying it's the position.
Okay, but again, so let's go back to how far back do you want to go? Tim Duncan?
Okay, so now we're going 10 years ago.
Okay, but when did the Spurs win? 5 years ago?
Was he a real factor on that team?
Well, I mean, they haven't won since he left.
Okay, so.
And if Popovich is such a great coach, how come he couldn't keep Kawhi Leonard?
Well, fine, we're going on that. That's a different topic.
I know, I just.
When's the last big guy to really make a difference on
Tim Duncan.
Championship level?
Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
Because the last five championships basically have been won by Golden State or Cleveland.
Right. But who have been the contenders? Who's Houston's guy? They don't really have one. You know? I mean, what are the Thunder? I mean, I don't know. Baca, Adams?
No.
I mean, it's a fair thing to bring up.
Yes. Listen, in the modern game, a dominant wing player is more important. And in fact, you could even argue before then. You know, Bird, Magic, Jordan, they were all basically wing guys, you know, whether they were point guards or shooting forwards or whatever.
No, but centers used to matter. It was Russell or Wilt or Jabbar.
Akeem
or, you know.
Sure.
It used to matter. It doesn't really anymore.
Well, but again.
Davis is more forward than center. He's an inch taller than Kevin Durant. We're not talking about, like a guy like Greg Monroe or Aaron Baines or any of these guys that are almost irrelevant that you need defensively more than anything else.
I would also say, how many dominant big men, period, are there?
Less than five.
So, like, now Davis alone, can he win it? No, but put him on a team with a good wing player, and what do you got?
Okay, that's the question. We continue with your thoughts, Agenda Free Friday, our last stint with Hot Take Bob Soucy, right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Bass.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Second down and 10. It was a guy who wore number 21 for the Patriots with a saving interception in an end zone to our right several Super Bowls ago. Now Goff with three to the left. Takes the snap. Harmon on a blitz. Goff throws it to the right. Gilmore's there. Intercepted at the four. Harmon forced the pick. And Gilmore comes up with it. His second of the postseason.
What a call.
And possession of the Patriots.
What a call by Brian Flores. Pressure on number 16. You knew the kid was going to crack, and he did there. And what a play by Gilmore.
It's time for Hot Sports Takes.
You got one more in your mask?
Nope, I'm not singing this week. So
it's over.
No pound sand.
It's over.
No. It only happens in season, Sosie. Go pound sand. You got to sing your own song this week. And kiss my ass.
About 20 is Maz's limit.
That's it. I'm done. Once the Super Bowl's over, new contract, no song, Sosie, that's the deal.
Maz, I know from one of the last callers you don't like Italian Americans, but what's the deal? Come on.
Seriously, how about that guy? You're insulting your own heritage.
So, who do you have to vote for? Like, for example, what tweener Italian baseball player's been up for the Hall of Fame?
Apparently, Piazza's the one that sent him over the edge.
But give me another one.
Next time you go to Italy, they're not going to let you in the Vatican.
Anyway.
It's a crime against humanity.
Here's the voice of the Patriots, Bob Soucy, in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. He's brought to you by DCU, Digital Federal Credit Union. Take control of your student loan payments by refinancing with DCU. Learn more at dcu.com/refi. Right now, I think Soucy comes in with some prepared material. What do you got for us today, Soucy?
I came in ready to wag my finger or wag my...
Your tuchus.
Bony ass.
But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to hand out some honors in your honor, Maz.
Oh, good.
And yours as well, Mike. In the spirit of your Tuesdays with Greg Bedard and the three up, three down. I don't have any three downs. I could have named three downs.
Shocker.
But, I don't want to take shots at fellow media members. Or 985 the Sports Hub colleagues. So I'm going to start with the Tony Maz All-Stars.
Okay, good.
So here are my three up. Joe Tooney, 78th overall pick, 2016 draft, 57 straight starts. First player in NFL history to play and start in three Super Bowls in his first three seasons. He has played more than 3,300 regular season offensive snaps. He's had 18 overall penalties in that time, only nine the last two seasons combined. Did a fine job as part of the Patriots offensive line against Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh and the Rams defensive front. Had a huge block as well, maybe the most important running play of the game after Gilmore's interception to spring Sony Michel on that long gainer. And I've heard you take shots at Joe Tooney for the last 3 years, and I'm sick and tired of it. And I think it bears repeating that Joe Tooney, now a 1,000 snap a year guy, a starter on a Super Bowl champion twice in 3 years.
See, once again, that's an exaggeration. Because I didn't rip Tooney all year long. In fact, I think at one point I even said to Bedard, I got to give it to you, Greg. Your guy's had a good year this year. And he has started every game for three straight years.
Amazing.
Right? So I'll give him the durability factor.
Mm-hmm.
But now they won the Super Bowl because of Joe Tooney?
And did he really? I don't know.
He had a big block. He played well. He played well.
Ooh, he's one big
Spanish.
Block.
Did an excellent job. No, he played well all season long.
Brady had traffic in front of him. You couldn't run the ball for 80% of the game. You scored 13 points. They ran on the first and the last drive, and in between, nothing. And they didn't win until they started throwing the ball. So I don't know. Like, again,
that's all right.
Their offensive line gave up one sack.
They're great all year. They were great all year. I don't know if it was a dominant performance on Sunday, though.
Where would they be without Joe Tooney?
Let's go. Next.
Patriots defense. All year long, every time I said Patriots defense was improving, you'd say, oftentimes off the air, they suck.
You know, say it loudly. They suck. That's what I said. They suck.
Three playoff opponents ranked 6th, 1st, and 2nd in scoring offense this season. They combined 95 points per game, 31.6 per game average if you take the Chiefs and break them down with the Rams and as well the Chargers. Patriots held those teams to 63 combined points, 28 of those against the Chargers, really only 7 of those while the game was still in doubt. Safeties played very well in the postseason. I told you,
because Harmon wasn't on the field, Bob.
They prevent plays. The line ball, they don't make enough plays. They prevent a lot of plays. Harmon had a big game against the Rams on. And I know Brandon Cook should have caught a couple of passes.
Both of them.
But it is not mutually exclusive. A receiver could have made a play, but at the same time, and could be faulted for not making that play. At the same time that a defensive player should get credit for making a play as well.
So that stat you gave, first, second, and sixth ranked offenses, I actually used that on Monday. I give the Patriots defense all the credit in the world.
Good job.
And you left out the best number of all, Bob. In the three games, 7 points in the first half to those
absolutely.
Three teams.
Nothing.
7 points.
Yeah, nothing from Kansas City, 7 from the Chargers.
First series
for the Chargers.
See,
okay.
Once again, I actually gave credit to them, but you ignored that. But go ahead.
I did. Of course I did.
It's fine.
Linebackers played well, too, by the way. And then Sony Michel, 16 games, including the playoffs, 280 carries, 1,267 yards, 4.5 per rush, 12 touchdowns, one fumble all year long. And that was on the play in which he injured his knee against
Chicago. I know. He dropped the ball.
6 touchdowns in the playoffs. Single season playoff record, 112 yards per playoff game, 4.7 per carry. Moral of the story as well, 31st overall pick, and I know you can say that a team can get a running back in the third or fifth round and be a productive player, but the bottom line is, if you like the player and you're picking 31st, and he's the player you covet, and you're not going to be able to get him with your next pick, you take him when you can.
So
and
is
I think
the-
that's the story there. Also, cap cost for him, you're talking about a total of like what, $9 to $10 million. For his 4-year career right now before he hits free agency.
Yeah, I don't care about the cap cost. Is it the running back or the line?
It's a combination of both. He deserves a lot of credit.
Is there another running back that could have run behind that line?
Well, so let me just jump in here now. Thank you.
Tony.
So hold
Tony,
on.
Let's dispense with the hypotheticals.
No, there wasn't another
running back than Rex Burkhead and James White.
Rex Burkhead, who averaged 6.1 yards a carry.
Sony Michel was the guy who scored 6 touchdowns in the playoffs. And rushed for over 100 yards per game in the playoffs. And I think about a quarter of those.
How many fantasy points you get for that 100-yard game?
Eight people.
Bob, they're going to die on this.
They're going to die.
Who cares about 100-yard games? Fantasy players. What was Rex? You said Sony Michel averaged 4.7 yards a carry in the postseason. What did Rex Burkhead average?
Rex Burkhead some bigger runs.
4.2, a half a yard difference, and he cost you nothing. Next.
Yeah, he cost you 3 years. You had to sign him to a 3-year deal.
They paid him too much because I can get some other bum off the street to go average 4 yards a carry behind that line. It doesn't matter who the running back is.
He didn't take shots at Rex Burkhead. He didn't say the Rex Burkhead. I'm not even going to repeat it.
You know what, Bob? Hold on. Before you go on, let me just say you're an insult to my heritage.
Go ahead. Next. Go ahead. Next. What do you got for me, Sosa?
My postseason MVP. By the way, honorable mention to Steven Gostkowski and the special teams. I would have had him on this list, too, but he did miss the first field goal. But special teams was terrific. Ryan Allen, Joe Cardona, great job by them. Allen outpunted Johnny Hecker in that game, and that played a big part, I think, in the success, making it more challenging as it already was for Jared Goff and the Rams. But Michael Felger,
yes, sir.
Postseason MVP, Kyle Van Noy.
Oh, Mr. Happy. So good. I'm so happy.
Three games,
him.
Three sacks.
Such a nice guy.
Forced fumble, 41 total tackles. One particular play that I think was highlighted on Turning Point, he crushes Josh Reynolds trying to come across the formation and follow Jared Goff on the bootleg action so he can be the outlet receiver. Van Noy knocks him to the ground, and then he chases Goff to the sideline. You know, he played exceptionally well all postseason long. He's got a kind of a menacing laugh, you know, and I appreciate it. He's had a good time, a real good Twitter game over the course of the last few weeks for those of us who felt, you know, somewhat vindicated for at least believing that this team.
Oh, you're having a gay old time.
Anything else, Sosie? What do you got?
No, I just, you know, look.
Sing your own effing song.
It's the kindest blah of all time.
Really, though. He's almost uncomfortable spiting us.
Yeah. I am.
Excuse me, may I blah you?
What else you got there?
What else? All right, serious note. Let's celebrate the team over self. The ethos of this team as it turned out. I was amazed. Late in the year, you could take a guy like Adrian Claiborne, free agent signee, number one pick coming out of college, guy who's been with a couple of other teams, and you can deactivate him late in the year for a couple of games. And instead of sulking a player like that, a veteran, you know, all of a sudden inactive in the playoffs, worked even harder according to the people that I talked to, and he had an impact, helps to force the punt on the first series for the Rams. A guy like Danny Shelton, another guy. In his contract year, you deactivate him a couple of times late in the season, put him back in the lineup for a playoff game, then you deactivate him again, and you put him back in there for the Super Bowl, and he plays his butt off and has a couple of big penetrating plays for them. And I think there are a lot of examples like that. And to me, in this day and age, especially given the drama you guys are talking about with another sports team, a very good sports team in town, to me, in this day and age, despite all the tumultuous offseason for the Patriots, all of the drama that lingered since late last fall, the uneven regular season. When it came down to it, this was a group of guys that all of them ultimately put team in front of self. And I think that deserves, you know, a lot of credit. And I think it deserves celebrating.
So you know what, Bob?
Because of all the things of the Patriots, I mean, there's the individual greatness. We may not see a team like this do that, you know, going forward. Because it's a coach like Belichick has instilled the culture that they have from day one.
So you know what, Bob? When I saw Danny Shelton pop through the line and make that play early in the game, right then and there, I said, the Rams are porked. Right there, I said, if they are letting that clown get in there to make plays, they are screwed. They're not going to be able to score in this game at all.
Bob, thanks for all your help this year.
Oh, guys, thank you.
It was always a pleasure.
Pleasure's all mine.
And we'll see you, and I'm sure we'll check in, draft, free agency, all that sort of good stuff. So have a great offseason.
Thanks, guys.
But we'll check in. Bob, thanks again.
We'll see you at the Feast of St. Anthony.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Did you talk to him after those comments? Because if I'm the GM and I see that, it does kind of take me aback.
Just gotta check in.
Yeah, you just gotta check in.
Yeah, we've had a couple of different conversations, absolutely.
And how did you leave feeling after those conversations about Kyrie?
Good.
Okay.
Yeah. Better than you know, maybe the mood of that initial press conference. I don't really know all that was going on and, you know, with him, but we have had some good conversations.
babysitting that has to go on in that league. I'm telling you. That's the problem you have when you got these superstars. And Kyrie's brought it right here to Danny. I'm just curious, you know. Obviously, I read that as, you know, they were put off by what he said last Friday in New York. Like, that had to be clarified and it had to be talked over, and it's been talked over.
I mean, it has to have scared the crap out of him. Again, like, you know, you built this whole thing. Think of what's been involved from the Celtics' point of view. You've spent all this time, all these years, accumulating draft picks and then waiting for the opportunity to go get players. Then you finally go get yourself a star player and he doesn't want to stay. I mean, the whole thing goes down the toilet.
Well, and just considering his actions within the last year, you said what you said to our season ticket holders. You made this commercial with your dad, and then you're going to say that? Of course they're going to be shook to their core.
So, again, I need the answer of who Danny was fielding trade offers on and who he had to go talk to. That's what I want to know. And I wanted to go Kyrie there. I just, as my the talk show host in me, you know, that Kyrie does what he does last Friday, and so the Celtics then turn around and go, okay, well, if you're unsure, then we're going to take calls. And I know the reports were just the opposite, that they wouldn't take calls on Kyrie. But the way Ainge just sort of talked to Rich and Fred there this morning about all the conversations he's had with Kyrie, and he also had conversations with a player about all the trade talk, then we want to get to you first so you know. And given all the realities, I wondered if it was Kyrie. It's probably not. Sounds like a young player. A lot of people say Terry Rozier is a restricted guy, sort of superfluous. Jimmy threw up Marcus Morris. That's a nice little guess.
It's a good one, too, yeah.
Right? So I would just like to know. Let's find that out. Chop, chop. NBA writers, come on.
Yeah, Woj.
Let's get it. Let's get this. David and Lowell on the Celts. Go ahead, David.
Hey, guys. I got to tell you, I think Brad Stevens is the most overrated coach in the entire league. And let me just tell you why. If you look back, the Celts have held this year. Let's say 15, 16 points. He just stands there with his arms folded like he's smarter than everybody else while that team is just hoofing up ducks from three-point land, goes 0 for 5, 0 for 6. The other team gets 4 in a row, and the next thing you know, it's a three-point game. And he stands there, just lets them put up threes.
So you think that happened last night, that he was too passive as the Lakers came back?
He does this every game. There's no change. I mean, the old Celts in the 80s wouldn't have done this. They'd have put a team away. You go to the line. You crush the net. You're putting in twos. You drive on them. You go into the line. This team does three or four little picks, shoots from the outside, and if they're having a good night from three-point land, they win.
Let me tell you what, David. It's a fair criticism. I think you're criticizing the league. What team now gets a lead and pounds it inside and goes to the line?
Well, so I was going to say, he had me right up until he took me back in the 80s. Like, then it's like, you know, what league do you think you watch?
All these teams are run by nerds and analytics, and the three is a more valuable shot than the two, and the teams aren't even built to go inside anymore. And it's just, so it's, I mean, it's a legit criticism. It's just, I'd go to Danny Ainge, I'd go to the front office, I'd go to the analytics. I think they're all on the same page, and that's just how they play.
So I'll tell you, and
My second guess with Ainge is his rotations. He just...
Stevens, you mean?
Stevens, sorry. It's Stevens' rotations. He plays too many guys, feels... Too many guys need to get touches. It's like, narrow it down to the two, three guys, pound the crap out of them, and don't worry about ups. You know, the rotations are too deep.
Yeah, to me, that's the whole, one of the big problems. Don't try to keep everybody happy, and he's still trying to do that. And so, look, I also went and looked at some of the swaps he made in the final couple of minutes. Because, again, 125 to go, Mike. They're up six, and the Lakers are inbounding the ball. Kyrie loses Caldwell Pope for a second. He gets into the corner, receives the ball. Now, Kyrie made it up. But by the time he got there, Caldwell Pope was already squared to the rim and had the ball. So fine, but my question is, why is Kyrie even in the game right there? Now, with 30 seconds left and they were up two, Kyrie came off the floor. Marcus Smart was in, Jaylen Brown was in, Hayward came out too. So with 30 seconds left and a two-point lead, you're willing to do offense-defense. But with a minute and a half and a six-point game, he wasn't willing to do it. Why not? Put the game away right then and there.
Cam and Taunton, your thought of the day, quickly.
Mike, before I got social, gave me an idea. Mike, do you still stand by the fact naming Brady captain to the horrible precedent and was going to rip across the locker room?
Yes, it crushed them. It obviously it really prevented them from doing what they wanted to do.
Okay, my biggest...
At least that take was within the last year, and you didn't go back 7.5 years to find a take. So, like, I consider that progress. Go ahead, what's your real take?
Here's my big gripe from last night, dude. What was up with that building? I walked in there last night, most amount of money I've ever spent on a ticket, excited to go, and half the building's freaking Lakers fans. LeBron coming in there the first time to add his name to the best rivalry in the game, and you let the Lakers fans take over?
A lot of Lakers buzz in that building last night.
I found that odd. Because typically in these Golden State games I've gone to in the last handful of years, there's been a fair amount. This last one, not so much. That last night, that was kind of embarrassing.
The Lakers are a more popular franchise.
Oh, so that's why the LA fans weren't at the Super Bowl. They all came here. I get it.
See, I mean, you rip on the LA for not being a sports town. The Lakers fan travels. Wherever the Lakers go, there's Lakers people. And that's a national franchise. Because I'm not a green teamer, I don't come at it from your point of view. I loved it. I thought there was a great atmosphere. Just watch on TV. Like, there was a buzz every time the Lakers hit a shot. And I sort of liked it. I thought the atmosphere, even bleeding through the TV, was terrific last
night. The intensity in that game built, too.
Great.
The later it got, the better it got.
So, no, that doesn't bother me one bit at all. Dan in the car has a baseball thought here on an Agenda Free Friday. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, two quick things. One, not a huge baseball fan, but Maz, can you explain what's happening with free agency? Is it on the player's side or is it on the owner's side? And then one quick question.
Dan, we're out of time. Let's just do this one.
The short answer is this. Teams have learned that they don't have to spend big money on guys going into their 30s. And so it's not going to help them. They'd rather tank and get the draft picks and be good over a longer period of time.
So
it's different.
So you think it starts with the owner's side versus borrowing these guys out to the last minute?
I do, because it happened last year. I think it's a pattern now. And Boris is part of the problem. He always has been, don't get me wrong. But he usually gets his money. Now he's not even getting it. So, to me, I think it's more the owners. Teams have gotten smarter, and they have to change the rules.
I mean, it gets dumber by the day. Pitchers and catchers are on Tuesday. And Machado and Harper, which could have been a great, fun offseason story, has been a complete zero. It's been a wet turd of a nothing story.
Mike, those guys like them, used to sign by Thanksgiving. Okay, now, and even then, the market was slow. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying the premium free agent, Thanksgiving weekend, that was sort of a mark on the calendar of, like, those guys are going to be done before the winter meetings start. And then the dominoes would start to fall, and business, for the most part, would be done by Christmas.
Christmas, yeah.
Now, forget it.
It hasn't started.
Oh, it's a joke. It is. It's a joke.
Okay, long commercial-free segment is next here on Agenda Free Friday.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Shotgun snap to Brady, dropping back, lobs a throw for Gronkowski, left side, makes the catch, over two defenders, tumbling to the two, first and goal to go.
I just told you, they're going to bleed him. He's going to dink, he's going to dunk you, he's going to set you up. The Rams, they can't line up. Brady sees it, and it's a 29-yard strike to the big boy.
I'll tell you this, it was the most satisfying year I ever been a part of. How we came together, the obstacles we had to overcome, the grind from the beginning of training camp to now, it's just surreal. Just, the obstacles, how we stuck together, it was life. We went through life this year, and we stuck together, and that's what it's all about in life, is sticking together and keep on going. Tom, we stuck together, baby. I love you, dog. And that's what we did. We figured it out. We found our identity. Keep on grinding. That was our identity. Wear the other team out. We weren't making big, flashy plays. All the time, once in a while, but we stuck together, grinding, ran the ball. It was just unbelievable. And now we're Super Bowl champs. We're world champions.
Little Gronk, again, I said earlier, the retirement stuff should be coming up here soon now. You've gotten through the victory parade. Good for the Patriots. Anyone who's going to retire or move on didn't make it about them after the game, as you would expect. But now they've done the championship celebration. They've done the parade. They've gone to Disney World. They've gone on Ellen. They've gotten their beard shaved. And that's the week. It's like, now it's, Gronk said he'd take a couple weeks. Well, now we're a week into it. So McCourty's hinted at it. I know it's about time to start finding out.
I mean, he said a week or two. Gronk said that.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't know. My personal opinion, the longer we go without hearing, the more likely they're coming back.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I think. I think that, if it's going to be a retirement, we'll find out soon. And I would venture to guess by the end of next week, we'll know something about somebody. So you're right. It might be today. Hell, who knows? Like, I rule out nothing.
Sort of a Friday news dumpy kind of thing. I don't know. So that's just a little bit something I'm keeping an eye on. And, you know, there's a ton of roster stuff on this team. I mean, they basically have no receivers. They have no outside receivers. If Gronk retires, they really have no tight ends. If the McCourties retire, they do have Daron Harmon and Patrick Chung, but they don't have really that alpha safety.
No.
Okay, so if Trent Brown goes, they don't have a left tackle, the most important position on the line. Like, there's some big chunks of that roster there up for grabs this offseason.
A lot of moving parts.
Really are.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts.
Should be an interesting offseason. So we continue with your thoughts on this and everything else. Well, Bob and Attleboro's thought on this. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, I was thinking about a play in the third quarter. It was tied 3-3, and it was third down, and Jared Goff throws the ball out of his own end zone. It didn't make the line of scrimmage. He didn't get out of the tackle box, and it wasn't called a safety. I don't know if you guys, you know, saw the play.
There was a guy there. I remember the play. He threw it in the dirt about...
on the sideline.
Yeah, like 2 yards in front of the guy coming back for the ball. It was
close enough.
Never going to be completed and probably wasn't intended to be completed, but it was in the direction of that guy who was there. They immediately signaled no intentional grounding. They were on it from the start, and I don't think that was really that close, frankly.
No, I mean, it was, you know, I knew people were going to say something about that play, and I remember it, but there was a receiver in the general area.
Okay, Rich and Southie, again, quick one here on an agenda-free Friday. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, what's up, boys? Hey, listen, how do you guys deal with these callers? First, Kuz wants to bring in Messi to play for the Revolution, and everybody else saying Anthony Davis sucks, and Murray's a douche.
That's a whole.
There's a lot there.
You know, thank you, Rich. Appreciate it. Always a pleasure.
You know, can we turn it back to two calls ago? Because
yes,
this just popped into my head.
Go ahead.
Only the Patriots, only a Patriots fan, could win a 6th Super Bowl, 3 times at the game in 4 years or whatever the hell it was. Like, I can't even keep track of it. And 5 days after the game, 3 days after the parade, bitch about an intentional grounding call that wasn't made.
It's still an improvement from finding takes from TV talk show hosts from 7.5 years ago. That's still an improvement. At least it was about the game.
Well, that's true. But that wasn't a Patriot. Well, I guess it was a fan.
In terms of baby Patriot behavior, that's I'll take that.
No, that one takes the cake, yeah.
You're still allowed.
7.5 years.
You're still allowed or to go to a championship parade and hold up a sign of an ESPN talk show host.
I can't even imagine the stuff I said 7 years ago.
At least this was about the game, which we're still talking about. So I do not. That call was on board, I think.
I said stupid stuff last week.
Mike in Rhode Island, who was Danny Ainge talking about that he had to go talk to about trade rumors?
I think he was talking about Irving. I think as far as his career going forward, I think he went to Kyrie and said, what are your priorities? Do you want to go to a place like New York and make movies, or do you want to be the next great Celtic and have your number raised to the rafters?
So I just went Kyrie because his comments may have put him on the radar last week. He talked a lot in that interview this morning with TNR about all the conversations he's had with Kyrie, and I just... You know, that's just, and that'd be the most salacious name of all of them. So as a talk show host, that's immediately where I go. But again, the way he phrased that thing about, Jimmy, maybe you could play that again?
Yeah. Let's play it again, because there was one phrase that made me say it's one of the young guys.
So Danny Ainge on going to a player on the team to really tell him about the trade rumors that are going on between the Celts and someone else.
There was one player in particular that there was a lot of discussion with, and he's well aware of it. And, was honest with him on that and why we didn't do it and what he needs to focus on for his career and for us finishing this year strong.
So, again, who could it be? Is it possible? Is it possible he wasn't talking about a deal that happens now, but a deal that happens in the offseason?
Sure.
In other words,
Tatum.
To get Anthony Davis, you got to trade Jason Tatum. You got to trade Tatum. And Tatum has to hear it. Tatum has to hear it. Tatum has to hear it. And this is a big thing that they have to address because they've still got a season to play.
And that's right.
And they're right in it. So they got to keep Jason Tatum's head in the ballgame and, well, just all those factors, right? So this wasn't a player that was going to be traded yesterday. It's a player that's going to be traded in 4 months. And, hey, guy, we still need you. This is still important to you. we'll see what happens in the summer, but let's, whatever, maximize these next 3-4. How about that?
Yeah, and that phrase about his career suggests to me that it's a guy who's still building something, which is why I don't think it's Kyrie. But that be, you know, and I'm not telling you I know anything, but let's just keep it simple. Whose name came up more than anybody's in the last week?
It's been all about Tatum. You want Davis, you got to give up Tatum. Tatum.
I mean, to me, Tatum would be the one to go to because also he's the one you'd be most concerned about. Other than Kyrie,
he's the one you need the most.
Well, right, that's what I mean, is that he's your second most talented player in all probability. And then, not only that, what if there is no deal? I mean, then he's your guy, right? Like, you got to make sure, other than the relationship with Kyrie, is there a more important relationship on the team to preserve?
We've got Nick quickly in Marshfield. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Look, the Bruins have zero secondary scoring, and I agree with you. Like, if you put anybody next to Bergeron and Marchand, they're going to score, a.k.a. Dan Heinen. But Heinen sucks. So if you're going to rely on that guy to come up clutch in the playoffs or even down the stretch to get a better improvement in the standings, then you're out of your mind. You need to go outside the organization and bring somebody in like a Wayne Simmons or maybe even a Tyler Toffoli, who you're going to see here tomorrow that plays for the Kings.
Yep.
But you can't rely on these young kids anymore. You got to go out there and do something if you want to do something
okay. This
year in the playoffs.
Nick, I agree with you, except if it's a real cost and you're going to lose to Tampa either way, that's sort of a waste. You got to weigh that out. It's going to take something miraculous for you to get past Tampa. I'd say even if you go into the Metropolitan Division and play the Capitals. I know you beat them the last time, but you suck eggs. They own your ass. Holtby owns that ass. Now, you got to think it's going to end with the Capitals. It's going to end with the Lightning. So it's a second round. So you're going to give up a real asset to rent Wayne Simmons, who I like, but is sort of past his prime. And he's Lucic. Back when Lucic was Lucic. So you're still not talking about a sniper. You're talking about a bull. And so it's like, am I going to give up a real asset for that? And is Wayne Simmons going to close the gap with me and Tampa or me and the Capitals? I don't know. I know they're not. They're not.
If
it's cheap, sure, of course. But a real asset, I'd be careful.
To me, the only reason you give up a real asset is if you're getting a guy with term who is a top six forward. That's it. Now, again, I mean, like, I throw the name Tarasenko out there, but like you said, the price for that's going to be huge.
You want to give up DeBrusk and or McAvoy?
Yeah, and I don't. But if it's someone, you know, a little lesser than Tarasenko, let's say he's got a couple of years left beyond this one, and you could give up a little less than that, and he's a 25-goal scorer, I would think about it.
Okay, Gasper joining us today? I've bled a little bit over to save him some time.
He should be. I just haven't seen him yet.
Let's see if he makes it. Maybe he's pulling into the parking lot.
No, he's on Globe Time.
Hi,
wait,
Chris.
Wait a minute. Chris Gasper is late? You got to be kidding me.
He's listening.
Yeah, I know. That's the reason I'm being an a-hole right here.
Hurry up, Gasper.
Probably Chris, where are you?
Here he comes.
Probably Chris? Trying to find the perfect parking spot.
Or did he stop at the outlet mall? Somebody's doing some shopping.
Oh, yeah. Nordstrom's is having a sale.
Cue his entrance music.
Nordstrom Rack has got a nice little special going on. Here's Murray.
I think he's getting a pedicure.
Murray's update, 90 seconds, no commercials. We have Gasper.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.